Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from Myrtle Beach. I want to ask the big question. Do you love wrestling?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad we do. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world, and it certainly was today. And this is the one, the only pro wrestling interviews. We got a great show lined up. We got the core four tonight are with us tonight. First of all, from our northernmost outpost in Indianapolis, Indiana, the one and only Todd Saxon. How are you tonight, Todd?
Outstanding to supernatural, ecstatic to be here, and was happy to have some weather the last 2 days that actually broke 80 degrees. It's going to go back to garbage and freezing overnight, but hey, we hit 80s. It's all good.
Well, that's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And from Georgia, the one and only, the man who scares everybody when he gets in the ring, Sinister. How are you doing tonight, Sinister?
Oh, I'm doing good. Enjoying some 80-degree weather over here in Georgia.
Well, we're glad you're there. I was there last weekend with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and it was beautiful. So we're so glad to have you here. And from Richmond, Virginia, the one and only Stellar Steve. Steve Logan, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm feeling astral. If that
you're
is
feeling
a term
astral?
I can use.
I like
astral.
It.
That's exactly right. We're glad you're feeling astral. I'm just feeling good and glad to be here in beautiful Myrtle Beach. We're going to have a great show tonight. First of all, we want to give a shout-out to our boy, the man that helped me get this thing started, the one and only Amazing Velvet. We will see you back sooner than later, I hope. So everybody say hello, Amazing Velvet, and it's just glad to have you part of this great broadcast. You won't be here tonight, but we hope you'll be here next week. So anyway, thanks
a lot.
We
do love you, brother.
Tonight, that's right. So now tonight we've got an open forum with four people that know a lot about wrestling. I'll tell you that. And so what I like to do, when you have an open forum like this, there's only one person that I want to open it up to get this thing started. He is the man. He is not a myth, but he is a legend. He is one of the great wrestlers that we know and one of our very best friends, the one and only Sinister. Sinister, how are you doing tonight? And tell us how you want to get this conversation started with our open forum.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing great tonight. Can't complain. Glad to see everybody, hear from everybody. One thing I'd like to open up with, I noticed that Tony Khan made a major announcement where he has collaborated with New Japan Pro Wrestling, which, you know, yeah, on his part, you know, congratulations and big kudos to him. The only concern I have, I'm just a little afraid that he may be piling a little too much on his plate, because you got AEW, you got Ring of Honor, you're dealing with Impact, and now you got MPJW. That's going to be, I mean, I understand what he's doing, and he's making some good moves, and AEW is looking fantastic. They're gaining momentum. I love the show. I'm just a little afraid that, you know, it might be a little too overwhelming for him. And I don't know, maybe you guys' opinion might be different, because, you know, that he's dealing with a lot right now. And, you know, I just don't want to get to the point where it get to be too much, then things start going backwards.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to that show. I believe it's in June. Forbidden Door is the name of the event. And no matches announced yet, because I think it's a little bit too soon. We still have to wait for a Dominion from New Japan. That's kind of like one of their big events. And It's going to be really cool to see the top stars in New Japan versus AEW. We recently got that with ECE versus Adam Cole on a Rampage for the Owen Hart tournament, I believe, qualifier maybe. And I'm surprised that New Japan didn't do an Owen Hart tournament years ago, given his fandom and his respect in Japan. But I'm glad AEW eventually would get that, and definitely looking forward to Forbidden Door and seeing what matches are announced. It's going to be really interesting, given that it's two separate brands. So we'll see how the results play out from that event, because you don't want one brand looking weaker than the other. But I know Ring of Honor did a Madison Square Garden show with New Japan a while back, and that was a big success for New Japan, and Ring of Honor kind of felt like an afterthought on that card. So if AEW can, you know, really hold up on their end, then I think this will be even a better event than that Madison Square Garden show. This will be in Chicago, I believe. Todd, your thoughts?
I think the potential is huge. I get what Sinister is saying. Like, you start trying to work all these different angles, and sooner or later, you know, you're going to lose a bubble on one of them. But here's a thought. He's got a big enough roster, right? And the questions I'm going to be, what are you going to do with all these people? Man, if he can, he definitely can choose and pick from the talent to what's working where. And this was always kind of a thing I wanted to see back in the day. I'd have loved in the heyday of the WCW, WWF at the time, Monday Night Wars and stuff like that, wouldn't that have been great to have some cross competition? So we could have the potential for this, and it could be huge for both brands. That's my thought. It could be huge.
And if I can follow up on that, I think the crossover happened a little bit later because Harold May was the former president, and I'm not sure if there was lingering hate. That's what I've heard rumored, and I think with the new president taking over, relationships with AEW kind of softened up, and we eventually got some crossover with some stars coming over to each other's brands, New Japan USA and Dynamite, and I'm glad to see that. You know, this is something I thought about earlier this year. I was wondering if this year we're going to finally get, you know, a New Japan event with AEW, and we finally got the announcement. And also the pandemic, I think, definitely delayed this kind of a show, this kind of a crossover. So I wanted to mention that the powers that used to be in the pandemic, but definitely glad it's finally happening.
I'm excited. Sinister, we throwing some stuff out there. Dr. John, we throwing some stuff out there. Guys, what are you thinking on where the tangent Steve and I have thrown out?
I think it's it makes a lot of sense, though, because, you know, like you said, it's a good thing, but, you know, you don't want to gamble too much. Like you said, you know, he got a lot of people he could choose from, you know, and which also gives him the potential to also, like, make a special, you know, pay-per-view. You know, they could come up with something just as big as WrestleMania, or if not better.
Right.
Yeah, but it just depends on how he work his angles, because, you know, here's the thing. WWE has been the number one for the past couple of decades. And everybody that's tried to knock them off, they couldn't do it because, you know, they didn't have enough star power, or they had star power, and they just didn't have the right ideas. Now Tony Khan is in a position where he can actually get people that could come up with a lot of ideas, like the ideas we're coming up with right now. And if he would just come up with some special pay-per-views that, like I said, just as good as WrestleMania, or if not better, you know, he could be the next big thing. You know, he might even beat WWE, which has never been done before. So he's in a good position right now, but he got to be careful, because if you got all this talent and you're not coming up with the right ideas and right angles, you know, things could fall real quick.
Oh, definitely could. The man, think about it. If how cool would it be, maybe, if they did a handful of long-term storylines, created some heat back and forth? It could be. The potential is huge. I'm trying not to get too excited about it, because the potential's there, but we always know the man. A lot of times it falls short, but you're right. I mean, so much knockoff WWE, that's I don't know that people need to have that attitude as let's go ahead and chip away at what they have. And because there is so much other talent out there. And if it can get the right exposure, I think it would be great for the fans. That's just my thought. And Tony Khan's got he's got from veteran to the young guys, to the stuff in between. He's got the full roster. Just saying. Thoughts?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was finished. You go ahead.
Well, when we were talking about angles, there was a big goof with that Satnam Singh debut, and even Tony Khan addressed it on Busted Open, with that giant Indian former NBA player showing up on Dynamite and had the lights go out. It was after Samoa Joe's Minoru Suzuki match, which I was really excited about. And I enjoyed the match, but with the overrun, I thought they were going to have a longer match. And it wasn't too short, but it was like, I thought they took away a lot of the tension from Suzuki and Joe with that Satnam Singh debut. And it wasn't like we want this giant to get beat up. It was like, why are they doing this WWE type angle heat on a Ring of Honor type main event? It was weird. But for context, it was Samoa Joe getting beat up by Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh. I think that's the only goof recently that I can bring up towards about an angle, because doing the lights out or somebody that the fans don't really know all that well outside of India, that's kind of weird. But I'm glad he was able to address it and, you know, not fight against the narrative online. Because sometimes people have weird narratives online, you know, backlashes. But I thought Tony, like, agreeing and kind of addressing it kind of mitigated any ill will. Senator, what were your thoughts on that Satnam Singh debut? Because that was very mixed reaction, for sure.
My thoughts on it is, and I agree with what you said earlier, the lights out thing, I didn't really agree with, because, you know, I feel the same way. Nobody know who this guy is. I didn't even know who he was. All I know is I just see a big 7-foot guy, which you can see 7-foot people in public. So if it would have been somebody like Shaq or, you know, the Undertaker, whatever, I'd have been ecstatic. Mm-hmm. I'd have been more surprised, but nobody knows right. who this guy was, because if you're going to do the lights out thing, like, for example, when Hogan was in WCW and he was running an NWO angle and he was in the ring talking on the mic and the lights went out, and when the lights started coming back home, the Ultimate Warrior was coming out. people went crazy because they know who the Ultimate Warrior is. But these no names, you're really making the company look like a joke when you do that, because like you said, if people don't know this guy, they're going to be like, okay, what's so special about him?
It better be Warrior or Sting or somebody, right?
Yeah, or Undertaker, yeah, or Sabu.
Well, not only that, you could, you know, when you're going to introduce someone, there's got to be all that hint, innuendo that they're some sort of build, create the mystery, create the stuff. You can't just throw them out there.
Right.
Well, all I got to say is just bring the Miz out and you got it made. I'm sorry, I'm a huge Miz fan, but that's okay. Anybody else a big Miz fan here?
I don't think he would be received well after a Suzuki Samoa Joe match, a Ring of Honor type match. I think the fans would have go away heat with Miz there. I'm sorry, I couldn't take a funny way out of that.
I'm sorry. You know what? When you're just a mark for the Miz, or you're a mark for Gorgeous George, like I am, it just doesn't matter. They can do whatever they want to in the ring. I still love them. You know. But that's just Dr. John being crazy. Crazy Dr. John. Yeah, okay. Next, I'll let you guys take it back over. You don't need any more of my garbage.
I'm the Minoru Suzuki Mark, so I feel you.
Yeah.
Who are you a sucker for, Steve?
No, I just thought it was funny that he was bringing up Miz and this angle followed a Suzuki match. So it just like would have been a weird time for Miz to show up, but yeah, he was saying he was a Miz mark, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a Minoru Suzuki mark. You know that.
Yeah,
that entrance,
but I'll tell you what,
reputation.
I'm going to interrupt, and I'm going to say every one of us is a Ric Flair mark. Am I correct? Sinister, am I right? Are you a Ric Flair mark?
Oh yeah, I like Ric Flair.
Hey,
oh my God,
Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
Mike Tyson is too. He started a cannabis company with Ric Flair.
He's just okay. I have to jump out of here.
Man, all the way back to the Hart Foundation. I was a Hart Foundation mark, and then of course when Brett went solo and did so damn well, I was a sucker there, man. Seriously, was.
I'm gonna say one more thing. When you talk to Ricky Morton, Ricky Morton is aware that there are more Ricky Morton marks out there. And he says, he told me one time, he said, you know, John, it's kind of weird living with the fact that you got about 2 million people that just really love you. And it's like, what do? You're sitting at home with your grandkids. And you know that there are 2 million people that love you. It's like, I don't know what to do. I said, just keep being Ricky Morton. That's all you got to do. Am I correct, Todd? Just keep being Ricky Morton.
He sold it. Man, that dude sold it.
He did. And it's like, but he knows the feeling that there are millions of people that just are in love with Ricky Morton. Robert Gibson, same way. I mean, last time I saw him was in Charlotte. And he agreed. It's like, you know, I just have to kind of forget it because I just know that there are so many people that really love what I did. And it's just like, I mean, I can't do any more than I did. And I'm just, you know, kind of like in semi-retirement, getting Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or Rock and Roll Express in the Hall of Fame and everything. But, you know, these guys understand what it's like to have millions of people just would die to meet them. Or whatever. It's just, these true pros understand just how much the fans love them. I mean, God, if I could see Nelson Royal again, he's passed away. If I could see Flair again and talk to him, and anyway, whatever. Dr. John's got to be quiet. I just have too much fun here. Okay.
I got to follow up on 2 points. Ricky Morton, I think his last run is this year, so you better. If he's close to your area, you better go see him. And then, Todd, you mentioned the Hart Foundation. I don't know if you've been watching AEW, but they got an Owen Hart tournament going on with the men's division and the women's division.
I heard you mention that.
Yeah. So that should be pretty interesting. I'm kind of mixed about some of the matches announced because you got FTR facing each other off in the qualifier match, and then you got Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm facing off in the opening and one of the opening tournament matches. You would think that'd be like a semifinal or final match, but I think Tony Storm can go pretty far in that tournament. And I'd like to see Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe, I don't know if he's going to win, but definitely go far in that because he's a Canadian wrestler and pretty legit. So should be interesting to follow that.
Nice.
And I wanted to mention, I did see a video. There's been these videos where they kind of, there was a Promo Joe, I think, is the YouTube channel I'm thinking of, but there was a side-by-side video comparison with CM Punk and Dustin Rhodes. They had a match recently, and you can just put him right next to the Bret Hart clips. I think it was, I'm not sure who Bret's opponent was. It may have been Piper or I think British Bulldog was the other one, but it's very obvious that CM Punk is influenced by Bret Hart, which is not a bad person to pick from with some of the moves he was doing.
Right.
Like working the leg. When he was doing his leg, when he was working on Dustin Rhodes' leg, like he was obviously looking at Bret Hart matches because you could just put the video clips side by side on YouTube. It's pretty neat.
You know, like you said, he was looking at Bret Hart matches. It's the thing. A lot of, especially the new guys, they look at the old matches, like the matches that Bret Hart has done, Owen Hart has done, Sting, you name it, all the greats. But they don't want to admit that it was the golden era of wrestling, the Bret Harts, the Flairs, the Hogans that they actually learned from and got ideas from. And I just never understood that because if it went for, guys like Bret Hart, Owen Hart, and different, even Undertaker, a lot of these guys wouldn't even know what to do in the ring.
I have to respectfully disagree. I think they're pretty open about their respect for Bret Hart. CM Punk, I think, was given some positive comments by Bret. Even FTR, it's no secret that they're huge Bret Hart fans, so I think that's why they're starting they're doing that qualifier match against each other in the Owen Hart tournament. And I did want to ask you, what do you think about WWE quietly signing Bret Hart, especially given the timing of this Owen Hart tournament? It's not like they need Bret Hart to be there, but it would have been a good touch. I mean, there's other Hart family members they can get, probably. They're not in WWE. Thoughts on Bret Hart signing with WWE? Probably like a Legends contract or something like that?
Well, I think it's more financial because, at the Hart family, Bret Hart, he is one of the most popular. Even though Owen Hart is big, but I think they look at if they bring in Bret Hart and, especially with this tournament, the Owen Hart tournament, and have him to present the award or trophy or whatever it may be, they look at that as being big money because, they know a lot of people love Bret Hart. They love the Harts, period. But like you said, they could have brought in other members, but out of popularity, who would make the most money? I think that's why they signed it, to be honest. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. WWE signed Bret just for context, but I think I'm just wondering if that's their way of countering, if not having him there for the Owen Hart tournament. Maybe Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's the speculation going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great possibility. You know, I believe it. You know, it's no different than with the Ultimate Warrior's wife. They hired her to do some work behind the scenes, you know, but, you know, only a few people know that she's actually working behind the scenes, you know, because, you know, where you got the, I think, don't they have an award now? It's like the Ultimate Warrior Award or something they have.
So they're still giving out every year at the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah. You know, I think it's just it's a financial move, you know, which is smart, but I think it's more a financial move than anything.
Agreed.
There have been. I like it, the that Sinister brought it up, because now it's a question is, how much of this is me being a cynical Lars, and how much of is this just a variation of exploitation, taking advantage of routine, or how much of it is kind of seeing some of the odds and ends loyalty, like seeing, the Warrior's wife doing stuff behind the scenes. I'm seeing that as loyalty. But hiring Brett, I'm seeing it as exploitation. So talk to me, guys.
Definitely exploitation, really. I say it's big money in this stuff now, you know. You know, it's just like, If I had a supplement and I had my own supplement company, and say if I was good friends with Sylvester Stallone, and somehow, you know, I was able to get him to come in and do a commercial with me to advertise this supplement, you know, it's gonna make big money, because, you know, it's Sylvester Stallone, and, you know, WWE, they're known for doing, you know, stuff like this. Not saying that it's bad, but, you know, I guess this is one of the ways they stayed on top so long, especially in the corporate world, because they are a bit, they are corporate now, as I understand. So with them, it's all about, you know, the dollar.
Well, this is Dr. John. I mean, sometimes it's all about just doing the thing that really makes sense. If I can say that, because, you know, sometimes it would make sense to have the heart there for this tournament. I mean, it just makes sense. So maybe that's the case. I don't know. Just thinking out loud, if I may.
Well, if I can give some context, the Owen Hart tournament, I think, is a direct result of the Dark Side of the Ring relationship with some of the AEW talent, like Chris Jericho. And I think Chris might have been one of the brainchilds, one of the people that had pushed for that tournament. And I think it's cool that he's still being honored in other ways, because I know Martha is very not open to Owen going into WWE Hall of Fame for reasons that I can understand. But so this tournament is kind of a cool way of furthering his legacy that way. Kind of like what WWE tries to do with the Andre the Giant Battle Royals.
I like it. The man, hey, Dr. John, bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
PSA time.
Oh, it is. Oh, we're 1 minute early, but I'll allow that. That's right. All I've got to say is we're so pleased to be on WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach. We've added a new town there, station owned and operated by Banana Jack Murphy, one of our true friends and a guy that really supports professional wrestling. So thanks, Banana Jack Murphy, and thanks to all the listeners, WLFC, AM and FM, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach. Got to get them in the right order. Thanks a lot. Very good, Todd. You get an A-plus on that one.
Hey, the as I understand it, it's 5 minutes before and after on the PSAs at the bottom and top of the hour. That's just what
something
it works.
Like that, but thank you. Good man.
The all right, guys, we've had a heck of a tangent on this stuff. But something I wanted to kind of go back to on the early, we started talking about the influences in that. Sinister. Who is, and I know you have a great appreciation of the history. You know a ton of folks. Who are some of the folks that you have taken influences from? In fact, let's do a twist with this. I want to know both the good and bad, because there were, how do I want to say this? We learn from our experiences. Sometimes we see people that are bad leaders, so we learn what not to do. So don't be afraid to use that as an example as well, if you don't mind.
Honestly, some of the influences I've actually learned from and taken stuff from, you know, I like to say, you know, Ric Flair, you know, The Undertaker, and even believe it or not, The Ultimate Warrior, and Hogan. And, you know, it's a couple of others, but the good things I learned from The Undertaker was, you know, being able to go into a ring and put on a match with anybody and make that match look good, you know, even if that person is not that experienced. And as far as bad things, I really haven't learned any bad things from The Undertaker, because he's, you know, from what I've seen and heard from, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded guy. He's very business-orientated. Ric Flair, on the other hand, that charisma, how to talk on the mic, and, you know, how to be a bad guy, you know, make people hate you. Excellent guy.
Maybe the best bad guy ever.
Yes. I agree, because he has made people, especially in the early days, hate him. But at the same time, the bad thing I have learned from Ric Flair is you shouldn't go partying and running through your money every night. You know, it takes a total destruction on your body, and over time it could cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I would say, a good example, the bad example for that would be the Road Warriors.
Oh, yes.
Specifically Hawk.
Yeah, specific.
Yeah.
Well, keep going, sir. Sorry I threw that in there. You were on a roll, brother. I hate to be that road bump there, but I was. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you brought up the Road Warriors, because their working the ring as a tag team was phenomenal, and they're the only tag team that I really never seen face each other off. You know, to be honest with you, all through history, the only one that I know that never fought each other. But their in ring presence, you know, was like no other. The bad thing is that, you know, the demons that Hawk had to fight outside the ring, as far as,
yes,
you know, abuse, alcohol, different things like that. And, you know, they had to split up for a while, come back for a while, and the problems they was having in the WWE. But that's the things I can say about the Road Warriors. The Ultimate Warrior, guy had one of the best bodies ever, you know, one of the best in the WWE. He knew how to work the crowd. The people just went crazy for him. The bad thing was back behind stage, you know, he did get along with all the other guys, and it was just a lot of confusion. And then again, I think it's sometimes the ego gets the best of a person, which, you know, it should never happen. But
right,
I don't know if he couldn't deal with the fame or what it was, but I know he bucked a lot of heads, especially with Vince McMahon. And I think if that wouldn't have happened, he would have been way bigger than Hogan, a whole lot bigger.
I would say there were definitely moments that he eclipsed him.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right, who else? Because definitely you're no slouch for taking care of the body, so definitely you look at it on that side of things. Who else? Anybody else jump to mind with you that, you know, you talked about some of the different things. What about ring styles? Who influenced you with ring styles?
Ring styles, to be honest with you, I got to admit, Booker T influenced me with his ring style. And, you know, I'm not saying that because he's African-American. I'm saying that because when he became a solo act, it was he propelled himself.
Well, he's another one. I see parallels with him and Brett. Don't
exactly
know if that makes sense, but it was just, look, a superb tag team guy, and somehow or other got even better solo.
Exactly. And, you know, Brett even spoke on Booker T. He said he wanted to work with Booker T, do a series of matches and possibly even work together. But Eric Bischoff wouldn't let it happen. And he should have let that happen because, like you said, him and Bret Hart, man, that was just been awesome.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Well, I know 2005 is going to call back and ask for their expression back, but that would have been off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a dated expression, but that would have been
Todd.
Wow.
He might not have had those matches with Brett, but he did have those series of matches with Benoit, both in WCW and WWE. They're pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely worked great together, those guys. Yeah, you know, Chris Benoit, he was another one. Good style in the ring. And it just, once again, those demons just kind of took it down.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah. And his matches with Regal and Finley are ones I go back and watch for sure. Todd, you were going to say something?
No, I was just Sinister followed me because I've got images in my head with the potential of Brett Booker just, yeah. The potential was, oh, my God. You're killing me, Sinister. That would have been, man, talk about a missed opportunity, right?
That one and Bret Hart, Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle was just coming in the late 90s, early 2000s, and Bret, unfortunately, you know, gotten serious concussions and I believe a stroke later on, and if Brett didn't have his health issues, I think Booker, Brett, but also Brett and Kurt Angle would have been dream matches.
Now,
sure.
Brett had some good stuff with old Mr. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did.
There was another guy. There's a guy. You can still see. If somebody stole some ring influences from him, they could have done worse.
Yeah, Brett is definitely an influence, and also Mr. Perfect. I see a little bit of Mr. Perfect in Dolph Ziggler. especially when he was doing the show off stuff.
Yeah.
There were some guys. All right, or some things. All right, guys, you saw fans can't see this. We have a group chat. You guys, did all of you see that windshield wiper thing that I posted that was on the back of a vehicle that I saw?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, fans, imagine this. It's an image of Hogan laying on his back, and it's laid on the back of a SUV, CUV, back window wiper routine. It's on, laid on the back right side. And on the wiper is Savage dropping an elbow. Oh, my God, that is so great. What'd you guys think of that?
It reminded me of...
That's exactly that chuckle. And what I worry about is seeing that when I'm driving and start laughing and foul up on the road.
Yeah.
So,
it definitely brings.
Because every time that wiper moves, Randy's dropping the elbow on Hogan. It's great.
Yeah. That was another guy that right. Oh, go ahead.
No, keep run, Sinister. It's yours.
Well, you know, Macho Man, that was another MRA talent style, another great style of a wrestler. And, you know, it just, I think he was just gone a little too soon, but, man, he was awesome. Hogan, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he even took the music of Gorgeous George, Poppin' Circumstance.
Yeah.
And use that name for one of his valets. Sinister, you're going to say something?
Well, I was also just saying Hogan, he changed he revolutionized pro wrestling. He really, you know, made a lot of guys rich. The only problem that I see with Hogan was he was too much of a backstage politician. You know, from what I hear, a lot of guys did get their shot because of him. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's guaranteed 100% true, but I've heard that from a lot of other superstars, you know. But, you know, you got to be good.
All right, guys. I'm going to throw something out here, and it seems kind of weird, because sometimes – let's say all the backstage and stuff. Let's do the strictly business focus. And there are a lot of parallels with business. There's been some changes with work and stuff, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to have responsibility elevated. Doesn't mean a promotion, conventional sense of a promotion, just responsibility, if you will. I got asked if I could pick a member of my support team, and I immediately knew who I did want and didn't want. Let me tell you, that is something you got to check yourself with when you get asked to that. To be careful about ego, personal opinion. You have to step back when you're providing that answer and look at the big picture. So maybe some of that stuff that Hogan did was an emotional response. Maybe some of it was a business response. And maybe some of it was just his opinion evaluation. Just a thought. All right. Professor Steve, I know you had something you wanted to throw out there.
Well, if I could follow up on that, I think Hogan's not the only one guilty of this. So I think a lot of people respect Bruiser Brody, and he was very protective of his image and Roddy Piper too. Roddy Piper who we all beloved, he was super protective of his win-loss record. He didn't do a lot of, losses that much. It's just certain guys, they have the power to really control how they're used, because they are the top stars that they are, and sometimes they could be looked at negatively, and sometimes it could be a benefit. But if I can mention, I went to a UEW show, United Elite Wrestling show, in Richmond recently, and that was super fun. I was ring crew and some security, and it was a brand new ring. It was pretty interesting. Like, never worked with a brand new ring like that. I've helped with other rings, but they were mostly used, and this one was one that they used. And I think the part that we had to work on was the turnbuckles and making sure they were making sure the ropes were not too loose. And man, there was some stress involved with those wooden boards, because we had too long of a wooden board, and we had to get a saw. So that was pretty neat. Like, we had to get like a saw for these boards, and thankfully I'm not the one that had to cut them, but I was like one of the only two people that brought a box cutter, so that got put to use. Like, we had to cut up some of the underneath the ring mats for like the so that way the posts don't scratch the floor, and we could slide it if we need to. The ring positioning was definitely something we focused on the floor, and it was pretty interesting kind of going through that process, like, of them trying to relearn a different ring. It was pretty neat. And and during the show, we had to tighten the turnbuckles in between the matches, but I think there was no complaints, really. The only thing that worried me was, like, ropes being too loose, but I guess they weren't too loose because there was no accidents or whatever, but no complaints either. But, yeah, that was pretty neat, working on a new ring. And then we had Connor from The Ascension. He was in a really good heavyweight fight, like, match with this guy. I'm not sure, but he was going by Kaiju and on his singlet. But and then Josh Woods from Ring of Honor had a match. Rhett Titus, I believe, faced Tom Latimer. And Tom Latimer from NWA and Rhett Titus from Ring of Honor, former television champion. It was Camille, who is friends with Tom Latimer. She was there. She was on the card defending the NWA women's title. So that was pretty cool, seeing an NWA title defended on our show. I know we've had the Ring of Honor Pure title defended, and another title, but that was a pretty fun show with some pretty big names in wrestling. Definitely look forward to the next event in Richmond. I believe it might be in June, June 18th, called Cataclysm, and then definitely hoping to see Gangrel. He's listed. Silas Young, Matt Cross, a lot of big names, independent wrestling and wrestling past too, with guys like Gangrel. And I see Chris Adonis on here, former Chris Masters, Assad. So yeah, these shows in Richmond have been super fun. And the main event, it was our first ever women's main event. This last show, it was Gia Scott from DC versus Jordan Blade from Richmond. She was introduced as fighting out of Mongrel Jiu-Jitsu, or BJJ, out of Richmond. So that was pretty cool. And I think Sinister, I think he'd like Jordan Blade, because she obviously, she's a blue belt, and she's definitely used that jiu-jitsu in her work, doing some no-gi in her matches. And, man, I try to stay neutral and not to get involved in the show, but I couldn't I was out there yelling for Jordan, like, you know, being a fan for that match, because I was definitely invested in that. And Gia won. Jordan was defending her title, and she lost to Gia Scott. So I was kind of surprised. I didn't know how it'd go, but hopefully there'll be a rematch pretty soon. So, yeah, the women's action was pretty great. And also the, you know, I think Connor, his match was pretty great, because I told him, like, man, this was like a New Japan toss fight. Felt like they were going at it. And, like, there was some interaction with my security friends, because we were ringside sitting in chairs, and I was kind of like the gopher for the ring announcer / timekeeper. And the ring announcer was from Impact, so I was picking his brain too earlier in the show. But again, back, the security got involved in the matches too. Like, Connor put his opponent right on my friend Jay, and they broke the chair. It was hilarious. And Jay, like, was laying for a second before he got his chair, before he got another chair. We saw two chairs break, and I was the one that was safe. So the only time I felt any heat was Tom Latimer. He was, like, trying to kick me out during his match. It was funny. But, yeah, it was a super fun show, and definitely glad I was able to help out. And, Todd, thanks for letting me get that in. June 18th, I believe, is the next show in Richmond, Cataclysm UEW. But, Todd, thank you so much for letting me plug that.
Yeah, no worries. Well, that actually works not entirely unwell, in the sense of we're sitting there and getting near the time of the show where we're doing our plugs and make our comments and stuff like that. We're just over 7 minutes remaining. Is there anything else you want to plug, Steve? So go ahead, run on that,
please.
Yeah.
Man, the Broadberry in Richmond, that show last night was super fun. There's a band that I've known for years called Windhand, and got to see him last night. I know the guitarist, he's a pretty nice guy, and Garrett. And the openers are pretty good, too. I wasn't familiar with Wet Work. They were kind of, they sound kind of punk rock, kind of hard rock. And then Ilsa was the second band before Windhand came on, and Ilsa was pretty good. They're kind of like sludge metal, kind of death doom is what I've heard, read. But, yeah, like, they were pretty intense. Like, thankfully the crowd wasn't a moshing crowd, but I could have seen them. I could definitely see people moshing to Ilsa. The bass player was super nice, and, like, both bands were just super approachable, Windhand and Ilsa, and got some merch afterwards and before, and it was really cool getting some photos with the members of Windhand and Ilsa. And definitely recommend checking out them if you're into metal, doom metal, sludge metal, anything kind of Black Sabbath-y. Yeah, so, Todd, thanks for letting me get that plug in.
All right, good to go. All right, the Sinister. Man, I know, dude, you got a million little things going on, and you definitely have some time, so don't feel too rushed. Talk to us. What you got going on? What do you want to plug, brother?
Not much. I'm, you know, still training, you know, BJJ, MMA style. Still, you know, working out and, you know, keeping myself ready. So just in case a match, you know, a show comes to town or whatever, I'll be able to get into it, hopefully. And, you know, just keep myself ready. And, well, good thing is I got new wrestling gear, so I'm real excited about it. I just can't wait to use it.
Oh, I like it. The You ain't been targeting any referees or anything lately, have you?
No. No more busting up referees. I've been gotten home to about that. So no more referees. I haven't been jumping on.
It was one of the most exciting shows we had. Was that whole? That was an emotional discussion. Loved it. But other than that, all right, good to go, man. That was neat, clean, sweet. Nothing else. So no pending tournaments or anything. They're just the training for the opportunity. Is that a good summary?
Yeah. BJJ tournament, for what I understand, we might be looking at one in June. As pro wrestling shows, I'm still looking and I'm trying to find one as soon as possible. But as for MMA, BJJ, we might be looking at one in June, possibly somewhere in Atlanta.
Well, keep us posted, brother.
Can I ask something very briefly? Sinister, what are your thoughts on Fuji? Do they run a good tournament, or do you prefer other tournament brands?
I've heard a lot about Fuji. I heard they run pretty well. I haven't heard much from them lately. It was big at the beginning, but I like New Breed. New Breed has good tournaments. I like New Breed and the big one that I can't think of, Naga. I heard they're pretty good. Yeah. Fuji, I haven't been to a pool with.
I've been to a couple of Fujis, and I definitely preferred the one that was closer to me because of the venue. But I think I heard about New Breed recently when I was at a class. So I'm going to definitely look into New Breed and Naga. So thanks for mentioning those.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Before I turn it over to Dr. John for the closing, because we're just over 2 minutes, I want to mention that my daughter-in-law, Casey, has a birthday coming up on the 26th. So happy birthday, Casey.
Okay. Happy birthday.
And
your birthday.
Absolutely.
I want to point out that this is and will remain Velvet's show. Just ask me to come in and try to do the moderator type job in the interim. No more, no less. Velvet, it's your show, brother. We love you. We miss you. We wish you the best. Dr. John.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. With 90 seconds to go, it's been great being on here with the one and only pro wrestling interviews. I guess my plugs are I'll be announcing the Houston Bigfoot Conference, the Air Alabama Paracon, and the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference here next week. We're going to be advertising dates and times, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got none other than the pro wrestling interviews next week, 9 p.m. We'll be back soon. Same bat time, same bat channel. And I know we'll have Todd, we'll have Sinister, we'll have Steve. And hopefully our esteemed host will be back, but we'll see. But anyway, thanks a lot for being here. We'll talk to you later on pro
we
wrestling
love you,
interviews.
Miss Susie. We miss you too, hon. Papa Stro, we
Let
miss
me
you
ask
too,
something.
Brother.
Do we all love wrestling? I know I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Rock and roll. Take care. We'll see y'all next week.
Wait a minute.